going to ask you, Lewis, to open for us in a word of prayer. Let's bow in prayer.
Indeed, Lord, you are faithful. And here we are, Lord, standing this morning for the day that you've given us and for this time that we may be together. We are here, Lord, only because of your faithfulness, because of your mercies, Lord, that have carried us this far. You have been with us, Lord, and kept us also throughout the weekend. Therefore, we say thank you. Say thank you, Lord, for this time that we may spend with you, that we may spend going through your word. And it is for this reason that we pray, Lord, that you may open the eyes of our hearts and that we may hear you and that we may see you, Lord. Speak to us, speak to our lives, speak to us individually, to us, O Lord, in our different situations, different things that we may be going through. We pray, Lord, that your word may reach out to those areas where we need you the most. And we pray that you speak to us, O Lord, and your word may it work in us and also through us. We pray all this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
If you have your Bibles, please stand with me to Psalm 19 and we'll ask Enos if you will read it for us. Psalm 19,
verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much finer than gold, sweeter also than honey, and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern these errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Verse 14, when we read verse 14, we always see this in the church, and when they do the benediction or when somebody is preaching, they use verse 14 as a premise to start. But in this particular psalm, I want to deal this morning with the scriptures and the value of the scriptures. I am very pleased when I go to classes in the morning, when I come to college, and I open the doors. I do this deliberately, and I open the doors, and what do I see? I see students reading the Word of God, and I see them meditating on the Word of God. He's not here this morning, but I see more life. There's so many times I got to more life, and then he's busy with the scripture, and then I disturbed him. My brothers and sisters, I want you to understand the value of the scripture. The first six verses speaks about general revelation, and those of you who've done philosophy with me last year, you will discover that it speaks about general revelation, and general revelation speaks about the creative work of God. It speaks about the glory of God, and in verse 1 we are brought to the attention that everything that you see is because of God's glory. There, and there's no speech that has been uttered, but as we view this general revelation of who God is and what he has created, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. Verse 2 continues with the same vein, that day in and day out and night, the glory of the Lord is being manifested through this general revelation. And I want to say to you this morning, when we come to terms with this, that we need to understand that in God, he reveals himself generally in his revelation through what we see and what we observe. And then he uses two images that is important when he speaks of the sun. He uses the image of a bridegroom and he uses the image of a runner. And those images are metaphors that has been used. And the sun is compared to a bridegroom stepping from his tent to claim his bride. And so God gives us the beauty of the sun. And at night we have the glory of the stars. And as we view God in his creative work, we understand that. But my emphasis this morning is not on general revelation, but special revelation. In verses 7 to verses 9, there are six statements that has been made. And each of these statements has three parts to it. And so when we go through these six statements, we'll look at the benefits of God's word. We will look at what the word of the Lord does to us. And so I want us to very carefully, as we go through verse 7, I'm going to ask Innocent again to read verse 7 for me so that we can follow through in terms of what verse 7 is actually saying. And I'm going to deal with it in terms of what the crucial aspect of verse 7 is. Can you just start with verse 7 for me, please, Innocent?
Verse 7.
Yes.
The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple.
The law of the Lord, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. And the first, there are six statements, as I already mentioned, but I think six titles for the word of the Lord, or for scripture. The first one is the law. It says in the Torah, it's the biblical word for scripture. And it says, the law of the Lord is perfect. And how is it perfect? It is perfect for human living. It's perfect for human understanding. It's perfect for the way we conduct ourselves in our life. And the word perfect is not the word that is used here as a word that is the opposite of imperfect. It is the word that is used here is in to be complete. And when we have that the law of the Lord is perfect, it simply means that there's nothing lacking in the word of the Lord. It is flawless. It is completely sufficient. And those of you who study a lot of theology will know we speak of the sufficiency of Scripture. And it says the law of the Lord is perfect. It is. There's nothing lacking, nothing to be edited, nothing to be changed. It is complete. But what does this word of the Lord or the law of the Lord do for us as individuals? And it gives us at least four things. It refreshes the soul. The effect of the law of the Lord, that it restores the soul. People in a wrong relationship with the Lord, by coming to terms with what the scripture says, their souls are restored. It converts the soul. It brings a person to a right relationship with who God is. It revives the soul. When you are down in the dumps and things have not been working, when you read the word of the Lord, it revives your soul. And that speaks of the inner person. So when we speak of the law of the Lord is perfect, it is, there's nothing unbecoming of the word of the Lord. It is without corruption. It's comprehensive. It's infallible. And this word deals with our inner soul. It brings to us something inwardly that restores us in a right relationship with the Lord. So the first statement is that the law of the Lord is perfect, restores the soul. But the second one, the statutes of the Lord are trustworthy. And the word statutes here is also the word the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. I want to say to you, the statutes of the Lord is the testimony of himself, who he is, where he is, and what he has done for us. And so when we turn to the Lord in terms of the statutes, we understand that this is the God we serve. And this is the word that we inculcate in our thought processes and in our lives. And it's very important for us to understand that. But I like the third one. It says, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And what is this testimony? The testimony is about God himself, who he is. And when we read the word of God, we come to a clear understanding of who God is. And he gives a testimony of who he is. He is a person who is a God who is unmistakably trustworthy. He is a God whose foundation is sure. And he is a God in whose life, our lives, can be put on. It's a foundation where we can build on our lives without hesitation. And then he says, very important, the word of the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And the question asks, what is the word simple in this context? Simple simply means those who are uninformed, those who are undiscerning, those who are inexperienced. And what does the word of God do? It makes those who are simple, uninformed, it makes them wise. It brings them to an understanding that this is the God that can transform my life for the better. No matter how uninformed I am, how simple I am, how inexperienced I am, the word of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord of who he is, will make me able to become wise. And wisdom in this context means that God changes my life for the good, that he makes me skilled in all aspects of life, that he makes me ready to deal with life and all its darts that's thrown at me, because he makes me wise in my understanding. So when we look at the testimony of the Lord this morning, a rhetorical question is, the amount of time that you spend of being uninformed through the reading and meditation and application of the Word of God, and also through the preaching of the Word of God, you will become wise. The next phrase, or the next statement, it says, the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. And the word precepts here is guidelines, or a path, a way of living. And when it says the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart, it speaks of God's word as divine precepts. And these precepts are right, or principles are right. It is the Hebrew word that speaks about a right path, a way of life. The life of the world will find no joy, but the way of the Lord is outlined a life of complete joy and happiness. And so when we look at the precepts of the Lord this morning, the Bible says it rejoices our heart. It brings to us a point of understanding full joy in our understanding and application of the Word of God. And the amount of time that we spend reading the Word of God, these precepts, these principles, are right for Christian living. Yes, we might find some other way of thinking in terms of what other philosophers and other people are saying. But when we look at the Word of God, it gives us a pathway of living. And so when you're involved in helping others and you're involved in your own life. Understand the precepts of the Lord are right. It brings joy to the heart because there's a way of living. There's a pathway we follow. Then it says the next statement, it says the commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. When he speaks of the commandments, it's a mandate. A mandate that we receive from the Word of God, which is authoritative, which is binding, and it is pure. Simply meaning, the Word of God is clear. And when we want rules of life and how to live the way that God expects of us, we have this mandate through the Word of God. It enlightens our eyes. The things that are gloomy and dark and the things that we can't appreciate is made clear through the Word of God. When a person is in the world, and the Bible is very clear that God of this world had blinded the minds of them that do not believe. When we read through the Word of God, and the person who is born again, all this is made clear to the inner working of the Word of God. The confusing things of life become understandable. The things that we don't understand becomes more understandable. And in this particular statement, the Word of God is sufficient for salvation, first of all. That those who are in darkness are brought into His glorious light. It's also sufficient for total transformation. When we get involved with the Word of God, it transforms our lives. And the prayer and the song that we sang is that we have a transformation experience because of the Word of God. But not only transformation of the inner person, but it also brings about skill in all ways of holy living, that we live lives that is holy. So when we read this commandment of the Lord, which is clear and simple, but it's authoritative, it will transform our lives. It will bring salvation to those who don't know the Lord. And it will skill us in all matters of holy living. But the one that I think is the emphasis of all these statements is the one that says the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And the word fear here has the idea of reverence. Reverence God. Reverence God in our worship. Reverence God in our reading of the scripture. Reverence God in our life. And one of the things that I said this morning with the hymn that we sang is when we worship God, we are showing reverence to a holy God. And when we worship Him, we do this properly. The Bible is clean, is devoid from all forms of corruption. It is without error. The Hebrew word, when it speaks about this particular statement, says, the word is without impurity, without defilement, without faultiness, without imperfection. So when we read the testimony of the Lord, and when we read these principles, the fear of the Lord, we understand that we need to inculcate that in our lives and make it permanent and relevant in our lives. It does not need to be updated. It does not need to be edited or to be repolished or refined. The word of the Lord are right. The commandments of the Lord are radiant. The fear of the Lord is pure. It endures forever. He concludes this psalm in these statements, the six statements. He says, the judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. Not only is it a mandate for holy living, not only is it a way of a path for right living and holy living, but it also brings about judgment on the way we live. It says the judgments of the Lord are true, they are righteous altogether. There's a divine verdict in the Word of God. God is the judge of the earth, and His and his scriptures is his pronouncement on our lives. So these judgments will come in terms of how we receive the word of God this morning. And when we look at the word of God in its general revelation, that it's authoritative and that he makes himself known through his creative work. But when we look at the word of God in its essence, that it's perfect, it refreshes the soul. They are trustworthy, it makes wise the simple. They are right because it gives joy to the heart. They are radiant because it enlightens our eyes. It is pure because it endures forever. When we look at all of these things, he then uses another image in verse 10. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. And I want to say to you this morning, there are three P's when you think on that verse 10. They are more precious than gold. They are more sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. The first P is that Scripture is our greatest possession. And we take Scripture and make it our own. I like what Reverend Williams constantly says, together with Reverend Zulu. It's not the certificate you hold in your hand or the diploma that you have. It's those things that you learn outside of the manual, the study guide. And that the Scripture becomes part of your life, that when you leave this college after 4 years, and those of you that will be longer in honors and whatever, that you know it becomes your prized possession. That it becomes your roadmap. That becomes your tool for life. It says it's our greatest possession because it's more precious than gold. And the image that is used of a crucible, when when art particles are put into the crucible, and those that gold that is rough is put into the crucible and is exposed to fire, that intense fire takes away all the particles, the raw particles, and brings out a refined product. The word of God should be our possession, that it trims us from those impurities and brings us to a fine product. And as we sung and as we prayed, that we reflect the image of God. So, Scripture should be our greatest possession. But number two, it should be our greatest pleasure. It's sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. I don't know how much time you spend in the Word of God, but I like what the British preacher said, Dr. Stephen Alford. He says, I read thy word each passing day, and in thy word find glad employ. I read thy word each passing day, and in thy word find glad employ. I like what David says in his psalm. He says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. The rhetorical question is, the word of God, your scripture, your possession, is it your pleasure? But thirdly, the word of God is our greatest protection. Warns us from error, from the things that can go wrong. I want to conclude this morning and say to you, the amount of time that you spend in the word of God will determine the kind of image that you will reflect of the person you serve. To be Christ-like, we need to understand who he is, not only through general revelation, but through special revelation, by understanding and reading through his word and spending time in his word and making his word become part of who we are. And then we reflect that word. I like what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, in verse 1 to 3, it says, Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. And the word that has been used is the word effulgence, to reflect the brightness. And as Jesus moved around, he reflected the brightness of his Father. We can reflect the image of God. So our understanding, our meditation, our reading, and our application of the word of God. May the Lord add his blessing to this part of his word. Amen.